The covenant that God made with David, and the reason I want to do that is because it's what we might call an exception. You know, in Scripture, God gives us, as this whole study is about, how did God lay out the Bible, and how can we understand the different time periods in which God dealt differently with man? You've heard me say that over and over again. God dealt differently with Adam than he did with Noah, than he did with David, than he did with Moses, and so on. But in David's case, David was a very unusual man, not just from the standpoint that God called him the man after God's own heart, but he was also unusual in that David was sort of an exception to what we've been talking about, these dispensations or these times. And when I say that, I take you to, you don't have, well, actually, I think you do. Dylan, go ahead and give me that first scriptures here. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, we're going to take a look at two verses and watch very carefully here. Now, before I get into this, though, let's take a time out. When did David, historically speaking, the historical application of David's, the stories about David, 1 and 2 Samuel, when was that historically in the nation of Israel's history? Who can give me a quick idea of when that was? It was in the time of the kings. So so it's through the judges and all that. So it's the time of the kings, well after the captivity. Where was David in the line of kings? The second king, right? The first king was King Saul. And Saul disobeyed God by in a couple of instances. We won't get into the details there. And so God then took the kingdom away from Saul, who happened to be of the tribe of Benjamin, and he gave it to David, who happened to be the tribe of, who knows? Judah, the tribe of Judah. George, I'm glad you're here tonight. You need to come to the head of the class, buddy. Nobody likes to show off. I'm just kidding. So the tribe of Judah. All right, now we understand that was there's going to be some prophecy then that comes into play there. So God comes to David. Yeah. Hey, I'm trying to teach a lesson here, Bev. Wow, did you see that? So David gets the kingdom after Saul has disobeyed. Now, in this time period, so that's a historical time period. Now, here's the big question. Here's what we've been learning now. Doctrinally speaking, or contextually speaking, in what time or what dispensation did David live? Who could tell me that? In other words, how in David's time were people saved, or how did they get forgiveness or mercy from God? Works. What do you mean by works? Correct. David was after Moses, yes? So the Mosaic covenant or the law had been given. So they had all those laws they had to obey. So David had to make sacrifices. He had to obey all the laws. What would happen if he stopped doing that? Lose God's favor and lose his salvation. Now, that's the contextual period in which David lived. But now take a look. It's a circus here tonight. It wasn't my idea. No, thank you, though. I appreciate that. Do you know what this is going to sound like when it goes online? All of you out there in radio land, all I can say is I'm sorry. I know you were expecting a Bible study tonight. All right, take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, 7, verse 15. Notice, now here's what God said. My mercy. Now notice, God is making a contrast to the way most people would have been dealt with in David's time. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, talking about David, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Now watch, this is a very powerful verse, and we would not catch this in our normal reading. But thinking about this new dispensational understanding that we all have, this is a very, very powerful statement, because God said, in essence, David, no matter what you do, I'm not going to take my mercy from you. Now, we know David made some mistakes, didn't he? David committed some pretty egregious sins. in comparison to, at least humanly speaking. I mean, when you take a man, when you take a man's wife while he's out on a battlefield, you take his wife and you commit adultery with her, and then you have that man killed so that you can marry her and not be embarrassed. When you number the people after God specifically told you not to number, tens of thousands of Israelites died because of what David did. And yet, God said, I'm not going to take my mercy from him. And this is a very important question we want to ask ourselves. Why? Take a look at the next verse. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. This is the covenant God made with David. Before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. In other words, God said to David, in essence, and he proved it after David made so many mistakes, he said, David, no matter what you do, there's always going to be one of your seed on the throne. Now, there's not been a king in Israel for a couple thousand years. Is God true to his word? Yes or no? Can you explain that? Just very quickly, this is just a little aside tonight. He said, there's always going to be, thy kingdom shall be established, thy throne shall be established forever. He said, you'll always have one of your seed on the throne. He scattered Israel, so is... Jesus. What about Jesus? Jesus is the lion of the tribe of what? Judah. If you read the genealogies found in both Matthew and in Luke, in fact, we'll see that later on, Jesus' lineage traces back through both Joseph and Mary, although there's a reason why, you know, remember, Joseph is not his actual father, but that traces all the way back to the time of David. And so, there, it is being kept. That covenant is still being kept by God. The difference is their king is still seated in heaven. He will come back, and he will take a throne on this earth, as we've been talking about on Sundays here. So that's kind of where we're at. So I wanted you to see this. Now, what is this called? There's actually a phrase that we're going to find in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. When I say that David is an exception to the rule of that dispensation, David should have lost everything. David sinned. All right, what were some of David's sins? Very quickly. David sinned with, he committed adultery with whom? Bathsheba. He killed her husband whose name was Uriah the Hittite. Okay, good. So these are the stories you remember. So there were many things that David did. And by the way, that wasn't the only woman that David took away from a man. He also took Michal away from a man who'd been married to her for 6 years. And just some really, really tough things for us to reconcile in our minds. I've said it before, and some people look at me funny, David was not a very nice guy a lot of the time. So why is it that God allowed him to continue to have his kingdom, to continue to keep his salvation or his mercy from God? Why did God allow, as David prayed in Psalm 51, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, David knew he should have lost he knew the Holy Spirit should have left him. But the Holy Spirit didn't leave him. Did Saul, but not David. And the question is why? Why would God do that? Yes, ma'am. What does that mean exactly, do you think? Now, that is a wonderful, that is dead on about David. If there was anybody who knew how to make things right with God, it was David. I mean, read Psalm 51. David knew how to humble himself before God. Nevertheless, there were others who tried that, and God never did restore to them that mercy, Saul being one. Saul never could get back. So although what you said is exactly, that is very, very true, God still made an exception for him during this time period. He was a type. Now, Tom just used the word type, T-Y-P-E. I taught a series of lessons a while back. Thank you, Bill. I taught a series of lessons on types. A type is something that we find oftentimes in the Old Testament. It's a picture of something in the New Testament. For example, the ark that Noah built. That is a type or a picture. It's made of wood. If only those who would put their trust in that ark would be saved. What is that a type of? The ark. What is the ark a type of? The cross. Name another type of the cross in the Old Testament. Something else that pictured the cross. Picture blood being put on a piece of wood. Passover, the doorpost. That's called a type. So God sometimes used things, sometimes he used people to be a type of something. And in this case, David is what we call a type of a group of people. So now let me talk you through this. You tell me what this group of people is. So in the Old Testament, David was although he was a sinner, God said, even though you continue to sin, I am going to give you something called, I'm not going to remove my mercy from you. Now, in what dispensation do you find groups of people, really it's the only dispensation, where people continue to sin, but it's not their works that keep them saved, it's a higher payment that was made. That is the church age. David was a picture of you and me. David was a type of the New Testament Christian. That's why he got those breaks. It seems unfair. Listen, I'll tell you what, if Abraham could come back today and look at what you and I have, he would think it was unfair. What do you mean? They don't have to do anything? Now, that doesn't mean we can just live any way we want to, right? We've talked about that. We can't just live any way we want to and be right in right fellowship with God. However, God does not take away our salvation when we sin, and aren't you glad about that? Amen. Amen. Because if he did, he'd be taking it away all the time. You see, it's different for us. We're not making a sacrifice every time we sin. If you had to come in and put money in the offering plate every time you sin, do you know what we could do as a church with that? Wow. You know, come to think of it, I think there is a church system that does that. Seems like it's something called penance. You know, you pay for your sin. I don't want to think of build fancy buildings with that. So David was a type of the New Testament Christian. Now, isn't that a beautiful picture? You see, now what's it called? It's called the Sure Mercies of David. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 55. Let me just show it to you. Then we're going to move on to the next lesson. Isaiah 55 and verse 3, we just read how God said, I'll never take my mercy from David. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Now God is talking to the nation of Israel about what he wants to do with them when the Messiah comes. So watch. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even thee. Now here's the phrase that I told you about. The sure mercies of David. That's a reference back. He is referencing back to David. And he said, you remember how, because look, the Jews all got it. The Jews all understood David should never have gotten away with the things he did. He should have been killed. King, no king, doesn't matter. He disobeyed so many laws, they should have killed him. But God had placed him in a position and given him something called the sure mercies of David. Sure means that they're guaranteed. Just like your salvation is guaranteed. And so is mine. And it's all because we didn't earn it in the first place. We couldn't do anything to earn it. We can't do anything to keep it. It's all about Jesus. Now, he does have some expectations of us then of how we're supposed to live. But that's a whole different thing. Sure mercy of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people. You see this? He said, I gave you him as an example to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a name. Now watch this. This is now a prophecy of whom David is supposed to represent. Thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Remember we read if you were here Sunday morning, when we talked about how God, when the Jews rejected Christ, he took the kingdom of God from them and gave it to whom? To the Gentiles and to the church. So he said, and he called them a nation that they wouldn't know. He said, and a nation thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Those are prophecies about the end times, how they will flock back to the nation of Israel. So I wanted to give you that one. That's all we're going to do from lesson 5, but I wanted to give you that. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You know, we read about David all the time. We teach children about David all the time, all those stories. It's important for us to now, this is a great example of how David fits into this study that we're talking about. But in his case, he was an exception. And so now, as we continue then, I want to move on to lesson 6 today. And this is really all we're going to do tonight. And tonight's lesson will be very much, very practical. My hope is that we will have a great discussion tonight. because my goal for tonight's lesson, and for lesson number six, you'll notice there's very little scripture given here. This is designed to be a very practical lesson dealing with. Let me set it up this way. Have you ever been to a Bible study, whether it's this one or another one, and you found something really, really neat, you heard something great, and you thought, man, that is so good, and you went away, and you got to your family or your friends, and you said, I got to tell you what we just learned in the Bible study. How did that go again? What did he say? Well, how did he start that? What was the... And our minds just go to oatmeal. And it's like, come on, I knew that. It made so much sense at the time. I want to help with that tonight. So I want to give you the next key to this whole unlocking this scripture, and it's a very, very helpful suggestion, I think, and it's how you'll notice as I begin to talk about it, it's exactly what I do with you. I try to illustrate, for example, a dispensation by going back and talking about a very famous person in that time period and what happened to them. That's the easiest way to share these truths. So let's take a look here. Whenever God changes his means of dealing with men, he ushers in a new dispensation or time. He always begins with a new what? A covenant. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for getting all that. He begins with a new covenant with man. The next key then is talking about how God deals with me. He's talking about a communicator. So notice, anytime God began a new time or a new dispensation, when he was going to deal differently with this group of people than he had the group of people prior to that, he always began with a covenant, and he always gave that covenant through what we might call a spokesman. So, for example, name a spokesman. Name somebody that God spoke through, and God spoke to that person spoke to the people. Moses. Moses is a great one to talk about. Where was Moses when God spoke to him? Usually. Burning bush is where it began. And then when God was going to give him, okay, after they've left Egypt, he has led the people out of the wilderness and into the wilderness, and now it's time for God to usher in a new dispensation, the dispensation of law. It will be the Mosaic covenant. In other words, it's going to be a covenant that he gave with Moses. What did he do with Moses in order to give him that covenant? Where did he send him? He sent him up on a mountain, didn't he? So Moses went up on a mountain. The Bible says he was there for 40 days the first time. So he went up on a mountain, and there God spoke to him, and there God gave him a written law. It was Moses' job then to come back down the mountain, come to the people and say, here is the law of God. Here is now the new way God's going to deal with us. So instead of God just saying to me and then I say something to you, God's actually put it in writing now. He put it on these tables of stone. And then, you know, I think the people were probably excited at first. Oh, good, you know, it's all in writing. And then they started seeing how many there were. 613 of those things. All these sacrifices, all these holy days, things you can touch and things you can't touch and things you can eat and things you can't eat. And you got to do this on this day and this on this day and remember the Sabbath to keep it whole. And all these laws. So God was dealing with that way. So he used a spokesman. And there was always usually one spokesman for that period of time. So as you're talking with folks, oftentimes I find it easy to, you know, when somebody says, well, what do you mean they dealt differently with, what do you mean God dealt differently with people at different time periods? I find it easy to say, well, okay, let's talk about some examples. For example, how did God deal with Noah? You know, I'll use the example of Noah and then maybe Paul. You know, so when was Noah a spokesman for? What era of time? What time period? Pre-flood. Pre-flood. In fact, pre-flood and post-flood. But pre-flood, the Bible tells us, in fact, Jesus made mention of Noah. He said Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. So God came to Noah in Genesis chapter number 5 and 6, and he said, Noah, it's gotten so bad on the earth. The wickedness of man is so great that I'm going to have to take now a drastic measure. But Noah, the Bible tells us Noah was a preacher of righteousness, so he had a message pre-flood. But now let's focus on Noah. So how did Noah, what was the means by which Noah was, quote, saved? Or how was Noah spared from the judgment of God? Build a boat. Build a boat. Now, if you talk to people, they'll say, if you said to a lot of Christians and well-meaning, and if you'd asked me 10 years ago, well, how was Noah saved? I would have told you, I'll tell you how Noah was saved. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was saved by grace just like you're saved by grace. Noah was saved because he looked at that ark and he knew that was a picture of the cross Jesus would die on one day. He was saved by looking forward to the cross. And he knew that because he was making sacrifices. He would take a lamb and he would make a sacrifice. Do you find, is that actually in Scripture? It sounds good, but that's not in Scripture anywhere. Not in Scripture anywhere. When the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, what it means is Noah was going to be the one man who had an opportunity to be saved. But what did he have to do?
Build a boat.
Pure obedience. Now, wait a minute. Did Noah have to have faith? Sure he did. God spoke to him. God said, look, you need to do this, and if you don't do it, you're going to die. Faith is believing what God says, yes, and acting on it. That's what faith is. So Noah had faith, but he had to work at it. He had to do something to receive God's favor. How about after the flood? Still works. What was the first thing he did, Beverly? Remember when he got off the boat, what was the first thing he did? He built an altar, and God made a brand new covenant with him. I would challenge you to read that. I think it's chapter 10. Challenge you to read that sometime. You'll find the wording given to Noah is almost identical to the wording given to Adam. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He was starting over again with Noah. But it was still a works salvation. It was still a works and faith salvation. So if you're talking to somebody and they say, what do you mean different? How is that different? I would ask, you know, one of the simple things that I've done with you is like, okay, so what would have happened if Noah had said, well, you know what? We're saved by grace through faith. I'm just going to trust in Jesus. He would have drowned. Plain and simple. Now, that's different, though, than how Paul was saved, yes? Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, wasn't he? When Jesus came to him and said, look, you need to trust me. And you know, and all throughout our New Testament books that we talk about, the church age books, Romans all the way through Philemon, you find only one means of salvation, only one. That is putting our trust and our faith in Jesus and him alone. So what's my point for this tonight? My point is, a good way to try to explain to people what we're all learning in this Bible study is to try to draw contrasts between famous people that many times people will know about. All right, so let's take a look. You know, we talked about Noah being a spokesman. We talked about Moses being a spokesman. We talked about Paul, and so on and so on. So let's talk then about let's take our dispensation or our time in which we live, the church age. We understand that best, and make comparisons to other time periods. So, can somebody? Okay, in fact, well, let's take a look at the study I gave to you. And again, I want you to step out. Look, I want some of you to step out. Don't be afraid to give your opinion. Don't be afraid to speak. This is supposed to be a Bible study, and what an idea that you have may very well help somebody else. And let's take your. Okay, anybody have a favorite Bible character? Come on, I'm not going to make you. I will not make you. All right, you're afraid. You say, well, I'm not answering because then he'll make me do whatever he's talking about doing. No, I won't. Who's your favorite Bible person? Who is it besides Jesus? Joseph. Okay, Joseph, great example. So, now, I'm assuming you mean the young Joseph in the Old Testament, not Joseph the carpenter, Jesus' stepfather.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, hey, I'm not going to just assume. So, Joseph, all right, what do you know about Joseph? First of all, let's put him in place historically. Where was Joseph historically in the line of the history of the Jews? It's kind of hard to come out. Okay, so he would have been during the time of Abraham. Now, when we say that, what do we mean by that? Well, Abraham had one son. Well, he had two sons. Who was the son Abraham was supposed to have? You didn't know there was going to be a test tonight, did you? Say it again. Nice and loud. Isaac. Abraham had Isaac in his old age. Now, he had Ishmael also, and we understand now all this turmoil that we've got going on today. Look, there was ISIS is a direct result of Abraham disobeying God and having a child with Hagar. And so now we have this whole Arab issue with Israel, and they still hate each other to this day. So, but Isaac was Abraham's son. Isaac then had two sons, and they were Jacob and Esau. Esau was the older, Jacob was the younger. But how God does sometimes like to turn things around. And in this case, God said, well, we're going to let the younger one be the chosen one. So Jacob was this seed that's continuing. It was through Jacob that this godly line of descendants is supposed to come. Jacob had a bunch of sons, 12 of them. All right, name them. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah, Reuben was the oldest. Reuben and Simeon and Levi and all those. Judah was one of those. So he had 12 sons. And his favorite, however, was whom? Was Joseph. Joseph was the second to the youngest. He was the, if you remember the story, well, we don't have time to get into it, but Jacob got tricked by Laban. He married Leah, because he married her with no lights on. And so he got the wrong one. Didn't know it till the next day. I don't know. But Rachel's the one he wanted. And so, and he did get Rachel eventually as his wife, but she was barren for a long time. She finally had two sons, and that was Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph was the favored one. Now, with that in mind, so shortly after the flood, Abraham comes on the scene. God makes a covenant with him. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob and Esau, and then Jacob has Joseph. Now, what do we know? So contextually, then, we're talking about the time of Abraham and all those. So, how is Joseph going to find favor with God? Works and obedience and obeying all those things. In other words, he had to be somewhat righteous. Was he? Yeah. Yeah, a whole lot better than the guy you're looking at. This is a guy that really the Bible records very little negative about him. Other than the fact he sort of rubbed his brother's noses in the fact that he was the chosen one. He did talk about the dreams he had, you're all going to bow down to me, and by the way, check out this coat. But besides all that, he was a pretty righteous man. He was abused by his brothers, thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, and he ended up in Potiphar's house in Egypt. Who remembers what happened to him there? He got thrown in jail. Why? Potiphar's wife lied about him. She made a pass at him. He refused. He said, hey, I'm a child of God and I don't do that kind of stuff. And she lied about him though, and he was thrown in jail. And he stayed there for quite a while as a very young man. So the point is, he lived a pretty righteous lifestyle. Now, God then eventually got him out of there. But let's go back to the contextual part. So Joseph was contextually or doctrinally saved by his righteous works. He had to obey the laws. He did obey the laws of God while he was even in Egypt. And so he was able to get God's favor. What else is something different then? So, now compare that to our day. You are not saved by your righteousness, are you? In fact, the Bible tells us that our righteousnesses are like what? Filthy rags. So it's not our righteousness that saves us. However, there's another contrast we can make there. In the Old Testament, they not only did all of those good works to get forgiveness, but they also did it to get what else? Blessings. What do you mean by that, Tom? Oh, just give me an example. What do you mean blessings?
Health.
Money, lands and animals and wealth and servants and all those things. So the Old Testament work salvation was kind of twofold. They worked and they were righteous. They tried to do the things right, not only to be forgiven of their sins, but also to get material blessings. So they were supposed to get material blessings. Did Joseph get material blessings because of his righteousness? Yes or no? Took a while, yes, but he was taken out of the prison. What happened to him? He was made the number two guy in all of Egypt. And not only that, but then he brought all of his family there, didn't he, in a time of famine. Joseph became the second most powerful and second wealthiest man in Egypt. So his righteousness got him wealth. Compare that to the New Testament church age. How's your righteousness doing in the wealth department? Now look, please understand this. And again, we're talking about real stuff here. You and I live in an age where salvation is very easy, right? Salvation is very easy. We had two people saved on Sunday. What did they have to do in order to be saved? Accept what Christ did on the cross. Trust Him and Him alone. And the Bible says that we're saved by that. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift. Okay, not of works, lest any man should boast. So not of works, very clearly. But we also then are not a part of those promises given in these covenants given to Dave or given to in the time of Joseph. You're also not promised material blessings. Now, I know there's some that would say, well, I just think, you know, if I give to God, He's going to give back to me. You can't outgive God. Now, that is true, but that's not Scripture, by the way. You can't outgive God. That is true. First of all, there's nothing you could give on this earth of any close to the value of your salvation. So it's true. You can't outgive God. He's already given us more than we could ever earn. But He also did not say dollar for dollar. You know, if you think that you can put a $20 bill in the offering plate and God's going to give you back $200, because there is a passage in Scripture that says He shall restore to you 100-fold. I guess that'd be $2,000, wouldn't it? Sorry for the math error. It's not as easy as you think on the fly. There is a Scripture that says that, but it's not given to you. Does anybody know who it was given to? The Jews. It's in the Gospels, but it wasn't given to us. It was given to the Jews because theirs was a work salvation and it was a reward system. I will bless you if you do these things. How many times did God say to them, if you'll do this, I'll bless you? That's what He said to Abraham, yes? Remember the book that came out a few years ago, The Prayer of Jabez? Boy, they sold lots of books. Sold lots of books. And I'm sorry if you bought that and you've been trying to enlarge your coast. The only thing that's enlarging on me is right around my waist. See, that wasn't a promise given to us. You can pray all you want to, Lord, enlarge my coast. And I think God's going to say, what are you talking about? What do you mean your coasts? I can't move your property boundaries. He's going to say, that wasn't what I was talking to you when I said that. You know, so we can see, do you see the point I'm trying to make tonight? You can go back and take any character from the Bible. If you can take that character and then stop and say, okay, when did he or she live? What were the promises given to them? What were the covenants given into them? Do you know how many discouraged Christians there are running around because somebody told them, hey, God said, if you ask in my name, you'll get it. I've asked a lot of things in his name and never got it. You know why? Because he wasn't talking to me. That wasn't a promise made to me. The promise that was made to me was if you trust Christ as your Savior, you'll be saved, and that's all you'll ever have to do, and I'll keep you saved. You'll never have to worry about your salvation, but guess what? It's going to be tough on this earth until Jesus comes back. June, is it tough until Jesus comes back or until you go to heaven? Look, don't you think that these three ladies right here have earned some measure of, if there was grace to be got by earning it, don't you think, would they be in those wheelchairs? See, but we do have some promises we can claim. And the difference is we've got to learn what those are. And so by going back to to well-known characters, whether it's Joseph. Again, we could talk about Joseph and Gideon and Noah and Moses and David and, you know, all the way through the Old Testament, all the prophets, all the kings, all those great stories, all the way through the New Testament, all the way to the end. If we'll learn how to apply, okay, in this person's lifetime, this is how it worked, so this is how the difference is. And it's just a way to maybe share some of this knowledge with others that are there. So let's. I'm going to stop right there and see if you have any questions. Anybody got a question? And remember.